at 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Just read the one verse, verse number 4. We preached along this thought for a number of weeks, and I still think there's a couple more weeks, a few more points that God wants me to bring out. And I was prepared for this message tonight, and I was like, how have I not already preached this? When we're talking about the weapons of our warfare, I thought, I should have preached on this a long time ago. But I only preached what God, every week, what he would deal with me about. So I want you to preach this. So we're just now getting around to it, but I thought, man, this is one of the first go-tos that we have as the weapons of our warfare. But reading in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And again, we're going to be preaching on the weapons of our warfare, but I want to talk to you tonight about the weapon of the Word of God. The weapon of the Word of God. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God tonight. God, we ask you that you'll just, through the Word, speak to our heart by your Spirit. And God, that you will help us to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And Lord, that we would effectively use it, stand upon it, claim it, believe it, trust in it, and look to it, Lord, for all of our help, for all of our hope, and for our deliverance and our victory in this world that you've called us to live in. God, you see and know every need in this house tonight. I pray you'll touch and meet them all through the power of your word. Meet us in this altar. Don't let us leave like we came is our prayer. We ask it together in Jesus' mighty name. If you love the Lord, would you say amen? Amen. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought under the obedience of Christ. Well, we started this series out several weeks ago. I think the opening message, we talked about the wiles of the devil, understanding our enemy and his tactics. We talked about the wiles of the devil, the weakness of our flesh, and then we closed out message number one on the weapons of our warfare. The next service, we preached on the weapon of his name. We talked about God has given us his name to use for might, strength, power, and authority. He's given us the power of attorney to use his name against the enemy. Everything that belongs to God, he has given unto us through his Son, Jesus Christ. He told us to use his name. And then we talked about weaponized prayer. And there's so much I won't dare try to repeat it, but it is a much talked about weapon, but not used near as much as what we should be using it. We should be ringing the prayer bells of heaven. We should be talking to God on a daily, multiple times a day basis. With everything that's going on in this world and the nearness and the soonness of his return, we should be making altars every day and often throughout the day. Then we preached on weaponized worship. We used the story of Abraham. In order to do that, it was a message that greatly encouraged my heart. Worship to Abraham was sacrifice and surrender. We also used Job in that as well. And then we went from there to weaponized preaching. We used the Apostle Peter and his message on the day of Pentecost and how that God used preaching to please God by the foolishness of preaching that men might be saved. And on that day, God used preaching to save 3,000 souls in a day. And then we went from there to weaponize community and fellowship. And we talked about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as we see the day approaching. We talked about the necessity of coming together as believers and having a sense of communion, which means fellowship, or fellowship not only with one another, but with the Lord. Two's better than one. A threefold cord's not easily broken. If one can put 1,000 to flight, then two put 10,000 to flight. And in Hebrews chapter number 11, we're given a long list of patriarchs who overcame through faith. And then in chapter number 12, he said, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, then let us run this race with patience that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God." Amen. Where he ever lives to make intercession for us. But we talked about the necessity of coming together. God believes a community of fellowship because he has surrounded us with a cloud of witnesses. He has asked us to come together, and so much more the often as we see the day approaching. We talked about the redwood tree in California, how that the roots didn't run very deep, but the roots of the redwood were unique in that they stretched and found the other redwoods, and they all tied their roots together. That way when big storms come through, you got to push them all down to push one of them down. Yes. Man, when I read that, I seen community. Yeah. I seen the church. And I want to tell you, if you've ever felt like all hell's against you and your soul is scrubbing the bottom and the devil's trying to take you out, and then you've had a number of brothers or sisters in the Lord surround you up and say, "We're praying for you. Amen. We're praying for you." And people are always around you trying to encourage you, then you know what it's like for our roots to be tied together. If you're going to defeat one of us, you got to defeat all of us. That ain't going to happen. Because we ain't all going to be down at the same time. When one of us is weak, somebody else is going to be strong. When one of us is in the valley, somebody else is going to be on the mountaintop. When one of us feel like we're defeated, the other one's going to be walking in victory. We're going to help each other make it. Amen. So I just want to continue right on tonight in the same vein of the weapons of our warfare. And I want to talk about the weapon of his word. And I was just looking throughout the scripture. There's so many scriptures, and I'll bring out many of them tonight. The Bible has a lot to say about itself. Amen, about the power of the Word of God. But I want to read to you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. He said, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in the truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." He said, we thank God that because when you received the word of God from us, you didn't receive it as from men, but as it is the truth in God. That's how they received it. I want to tell you, when you receive the word of God, not to be just sound advice from men, a nifty idea, a suggestion. No, this is God's word. The Bible said that he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He said, by faith we understand that the world was framed by the Word of God.
That's right.
That God took nothing and spoke it into existence.
Yes.
And everything that is because of the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Do you know it's talking about the incarnate Word, which is Jesus Christ? But you and I, we don't have Christ in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld Him as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was the incarnate Word, the Word made flesh. But we don't have the Word made flesh, Jesus in body. We've got Jesus in spirit. Thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We've got Jesus in spirit, but we've got the written Word. We've got the written Word that when I can't see Him physically, when I can't physically put my finger in the print where they drove the nails, and I can't thrust my arm up into His side, He said, because you've seen, you believe, but blessed are they which have not seen, yet they believe. Well, having not seen, we have heard. We have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in hearing, He's given every one of us a measure of faith that we might believe. And in believing, we might be saved. Thank God. You know, the Word of God, this is the only book, the Bible. This is the only book that you can share it, preach it, you know, read it, believe it, and you can go from lost to being saved.
Right.
You can take this book right here and take a man that's got 2,000 devils in him, and by the time you leave him and go home, he can be a preacher.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Do you know that's what happened with Jesus and the man at Gadara? Jesus was the Word incarnate. And anything the Word incarnate did, anything the Word made flesh did, the written Word can also do.
Yes.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know that He collects dust on a lot of people's bookshelves? And I want to tell you, this book right here, when you pick it up, open it up, hold it in your hand, dust it off, and begin to read it. It has the same power. It has the same authority. You can read this book to somebody full of the devil, and the devil's got to go. You can read and declare this book to somebody that with His stripes we're healed. I'm telling you, if they believe the words in this book, then they can go from sick and dying to well and living. You read this book, preach this book, declare this book, and if somebody hears it, believes it, stands on it, they can be bound today but free before they go home. This word is a weapon. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. The Word of God is quick. The word quick there don't mean fast like a rabbit. The Word of God is quick. It means alive. The Word of God is living.
Yes.
It is alive.
Yes.
You want to know why this Word right here is Jesus Christ?
Come on.
He was the Word that was made. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God and was God. The same was in the beginning. Everything God made, the Bible said that the world was framed by the Word of God. God said, let there be, and there was. Every time the Father said, it was Christ speaking. Why? Because Christ is the Word. You've got the Father's will being brought about by the Word of God. And you've got the Holy Ghost moving over all of it. You've got the Trinity of God involved in creation. But without the Word, there wouldn't be anything. Do you know the Bible said that everything that is, that all things are being held together by the Word of His power? Do you know this universe would have an absolute come apart if God had not said, "Son, I want you to stay right there. I want all those planets to revolve around it. Earth, I want you to have this amount of gravity. I want you to have this amount of oxygen. I want to tell you they want to pump global warming. I want to tell you," He said, "as long as the earth is, there's going to be a seed time and harvest time. There's going to be a summer and a winter. That the seasons are going to remain. This earth's going to maintain its temperature. The oxygen level's going to stay where it's at. The ocean's going to bring forth life. The earth's going to bring forth herb and grass and tree and everything that's good to eat. That's going to be." Why? Because it's held together by the Word of His power. You think God's Word has that much authority? I do. The world would have a come apart if it were not being kept together by the Word. I want to tell you something about you. You're made of earth. You're just a little piece of earth huddled up that was formed just like God framed the world by the Word of God. He framed you in the palm of the Word of God. Formed you with His own hand and made man in His own likeness. And you, friend, every one of you, me included, I would have a come apart if it weren't for the Word of God. His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His Word is my sword that I drive the enemy back. His Word is power to me. His Word sets me free. His Word gives me peace. His Word has healed my body. His Word brings victory to my soul. Hey, hallelujah to God. I love His Word tonight. Amen. This Bible is great. The Word of God is so great because of its author. This Bible, the Word of God, is God-breathed. All Scripture, all the Word of God, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, meaning it is God-breathed. Yes. Hallelujah. God breathed through 40 men over a period of 1,600 years, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every word in this book is God's word. Yes. Yes. He said not one jot or tittle will pass away.
That's right.
Till all of it's been fulfilled. He said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. You burn every Bible in the land and there's enough word of God in enough believers' hearts somewhere. The same author would inspire somebody to say it again and read it again, and not one jot or one tittle would be lost. You know, when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls some years ago in a cave in Israel, they pulled it out and began to read it in its Hebrew form. It was word for word, an exact match of the King James Bible, the book of Isaiah. I want to tell you, folk, if they burned every Bible in existence, you can't put the author of this book out of business. Hey, hallelujah to God. We've hid it in our hearts. He's written it on the tablets of our heart, and He would inspire somebody to say it again. This word is inspired of God. It's God-breathed. It's God's book. Genesis 1, 9 times. It was recorded from the opening chapter of the Bible. And God said. I'm glad tonight that he still speaks.
Right.
He was talking when this Bible, as soon as you open the pages, God is talking. And he's talking all the way to the last promise in the book. I want to tell you, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed his mind. He hasn't changed his vocabulary. He was talking when it started, and he's still talking today. Woo! Hallelujah to God. No wonder he said, preach the word. The instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Long-suffering means keep on keeping on. Long-suffering says when they don't want to hear it, preach it again. Long-suffering says they may get worse and worse. Keep preaching it. It's the only hope this world has got. It's always saved, it always will. It's always healed, it always will. It's always helped, it always will. Thanks be to God. Heal the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. Hallelujah to God for his word. Amen. Nine times it records right in Genesis 1, and God said, in Malachi, which was the last chapter of the Old Testament, 23 times, and God said, Isaiah claimed divine inspiration over 40 times, Jeremiah, 100 instances where Jeremiah in his book in the Bible said, thus saith the Lord. In the Old Testament, a collection of 3,800 times it says, and God spoke. This Bible, the Word of God is great, not just because of the author, but because of the power that it imparts to the hearer. Something happens in me. Something happens to me when I read the Word of God. You ought to employ every faculty of your being when you read the Bible. It's good, read it any way you can. I want to employ every faculty I've got. I want to see it with my eyes. I want to speak it with my mouth. I want to hear it with my ears. And I want to believe it in my heart. I want the whole man to be involved with the whole book. Thanks be to God. It's God's word. The eternal word became the incarnate word. The incarnate word became the spoken word. The spoken word became the written word. And the written word then became the preached word. The preached word became the experienced word. And the experienced word became the engrafted word of God. Our strength depends exclusively and entirely on how much of this word we can get inside of us. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will and I'll do it for you. Listen, everything we experience is based upon how much of the word we have in us. How much of this Bible do you know? How much of this Bible do you trust? How much of this Bible do you believe? How much of this scripture do you obey?
Hallelujah.
And that's how much power you have. How can they hear without a preacher? It's what he said. People can't believe what they've not heard. I want to tell you, I was somewhere and never heard, but I had the written word. I could read it and I could believe it and it would impart power to me. But how much more power when it's spoken through an anointed vessel? The one who believes, the one who has been imparted power, the quickening power of the word of God. Jeremiah 5 and 14, the word is a devouring flame. Jeremiah 23 and 29, the word, he said, is like a hammer that breaks the rock. I want to tell you, you're up against a mountain that won't be moved. Jesus said, if you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, be thou plucked up and removed unto yonder place. And he said, it would happen. It would do it in obedience, not to me, but in my faith in the power of the word of God. And Jeremiah described it. Jesus said it like that, but Jeremiah said it like this. The word of God's like a hammer that breaks a rock. You up against the mountain, up against the mountain, up against the mountain, up against the mountain, and it won't be moved. And you just keep believing the word and keep preaching the word and keep standing on the word. Jesus said, after a while, that mountain will move out of your way. Hallelujah. Jeremiah said, it's a hammer that breaks a rock. And Jesus said, if it don't break it, I'll pick it up and move it. I want to tell you, you can preach. I tell young preachers, you can preach a month of Sundays and nothing happened. What am I doing wrong? Well, I don't know everything that you might be doing wrong, but if you're preaching the word every week, I know the one thing you're doing right. And keep doing that thing that you know is right until God corrects you in what's wrong. But it's like a hammer that breaks a rock, and you can't see the hairline break, but you keep swinging the hammer, and you keep swinging the hammer, and you keep swinging the hammer, and on that last swing, the rock broke open. Somebody said, oh man, that last swing done it. No, it started years ago with the first swing. And it was repeated by another swing. That's how the word of God works. Your loved one might be lost today, but keep standing on the word. Keep believing the word. Keep preaching the word. Keep declaring the word. It breaks the rock. Ezekiel 37 and verse 7. Thy word, or the word, is a life-giving force. He said, son of man, can these bones live? He said, Lord, thou knowest. He said, prophesy to those bones and command the wind to blow upon these bones and breathe on them, that breath would come in them and they would live. Prophesy to those bones to come together. He said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. The bones came together. I prophesied to the wind as I was commanded. And breath came into them, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great and mighty army. It's a devouring flame. It's a hammer that breaks a rock, and it is a life imparting power. Keep preaching. Can these dead bones live? Lord, only you know. Prophesy to them. The word prophesy. Speak under divine inspiration. That's what preaching ought to be. We talked about that on the weapon of preaching, weaponized preaching, but you can't preach without the word. If a man is not preaching the word, he don't have any power. The word is like a saving power. It's a life-giving force, but it's a saving power. There's so many instances. One of the weapons of this word. This word is God's weapon to save the lost. Through the word of God, Christ plunders the strong man's house. He said, all souls are mine. You've got a loved one that's lost. Do you know God don't promise you nothing? He said, naked shall I depart, naked shall I. Or naked came I into the world, and naked shall I depart. You ain't taking nothing to heaven with you when you go. Not one thing are we promised to be able to take to heaven with us except our family. Believe thou on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now if I was going to stand on something, I'd stand on that. I'd make a covenant. I told my children when they were children, and I'm 52, and they're all grown and married. I'm a poppy now. I got grandbabies. I'm going to tell them one day, They don't live under my roof, but my babies lived under my roof. And I told them more than once, ain't nobody in this house going to hell. Nobody. Not as long as I can keep covenant with God. Not as long as there's breath in my body to pray. Not as long as there's breath in my lungs to witness and to preach and to claim the word of God over your life. I claim the blood that Jesus shed. I claim every promise for my family and for my household. You can let yours go to hell if you want to let the devil plunder you. If you want to let him wreak havoc in your home, you just stand back. But if you'll take this book, if you'll read its promise, if you'll claim it as your own in your heart, you can then take this word and say, "Get behind me, Satan. For the word of God says, and he will get behind you."
Amen.
You know, Jesus Christ could have forfeited his sonship if he'd have listened to the devil.
Right.
I'll tell you, this word of God is our save and defense.
Yep.
We're saved because of the word of God.
Thank
you, Lord.
Thank
God. Thank you, Lord. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." Halamahosian. Shalabakosa Mohundis. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The word is a defensive weapon. He said, the helmet of salvation. I told you the word is what saves you. It's where we store that word. I know we say we hide it in our heart. This is where we memorize it. Right here. He said, put on the helmet of salvation. Don't let nothing evil or wicked or corrupt enter your mind. Let your eyes be saved. Let your ears be saved. Let your mouth be saved. Let your mind be saved. Amen. And then he said, if you will, he said it starts, that's where he started. The helmet of salvation that came through the word. The gospel's the power of God to save. So we're saved on head, and our feet is shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're saved from our head till our toes. Your loins girt about with the truth. That's the word of God.
Yeah.
I said we're saved from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. We're covered. God's got it all covered by the word of God. I'm saved through and through by the power of the word. Then he said, I've got you shielded. I've got you covered. I've got you guarded by the word of God. That's your defense. But you've also got a weapon of offense. That taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Amen.
Word's also a probing instrument. Quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Dividing asunder. Joint and marrow, soul and spirit, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Pastor, you preach right to me today. I had somebody tell me one time, said, we got in an argument on the way to church, and some of the very exact words we said to each other, arguing back and forth in that car, shouting and screaming at each other, you said the same exact words from behind the pulpit. We ain't told nobody. Nobody knows what was said in that car. I said, God knows it. And somehow by the power of the Holy Ghost, he imparts it unto us. I want to tell you, it is a probing word. His word probes our heart. It searches the very deep and dark corridors of our soul, and it finds us out. If there's sin in there, the word of God will shine the light on it. If there's righteousness in there, the word of God will make it like a fire shut up in your bones, that you can't stay down, that you can't be quiet, that it's going to come out of you like rivers of living water. Thank you, Lord. His word is a deterrent to sin. His word not only finds sin out, his word keeps us from sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, O God. John 15:3, the word cleanses. We're made clean. He said, you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. He said about his church, this glorious church, that he has washed it by the water of the word. Thanks be to God. Every time you hear the preaching of the word, well, I can't retain all of it. Somebody said that the human mind is incapable of retaining more than 20% of what it hears. So that means if you plan on preaching an hour, they ain't gonna retain no more than 20 minutes worth of it. But I'll tell you a good reason to preach an hour. Because even though you can't retain but 20% of it, I'm preaching this to Taylor tonight. Even though you can't retain but 20% of it, the word is like a water that's washing over us. You put a bunch of dirty potatoes in a sieve or in a colander. Brother Eddie's got all that dirt over it. You just wash that water. Put them potatoes in that sieve, in that colander, and that water just rinses over. Oh, you ain't retaining the water, but it's washing over. All the dirt on them taters gets washed. It washes all that dirt off. And by the time you get through rinsing all that water over them taters, you got clean taters, fitting to eat. Yeah. And I like taters. Amen. Y'all can tell I do. I like taters. Amen. I want to tell you, God loves the soul of man. The precious thing to God in this house tonight is not the sheetrock, the lighting, the pew, the carpet, the sound equipment. We add all that up into thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. That ain't precious to God. What's precious to God is what he's washing on the inside. Hey, he's washing over it with the washing of the water of the word. Somebody said, well, they ain't retaining all of that. What good is this doing? They were under it. They were under it while it was being poured out, and they left with the full effect of it. Thank you, Lord. Curse, if you help me, I need to quit. Talk myself into closing. The word gives wisdom. The word brings success. He said, meditate day and night upon it, he'd make our way prosperous. The books, wonderful. The word of God, the Bible, it's wonderful. The weapons of our warfare, mighty through God, because of its subject. Then said I, lo, I come, it is written of me in the volume of the book. I am come to do thy will, O God. Psalm 40 and verse 7. This book is written, it's a book about Jesus. And the entire story from Genesis all the way to Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. 66 books in one collective volume. The moment you begin to understand this Bible is a book about Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament is a type and a shadow of he that is to come. Everything in the gospel, he that was, and everything in the epistles is he who now is and is to come. It's a book about Jesus. Martin Luther said, if you would see God, you must look into the face of Jesus Christ. He is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. The Word describes the person of Christ, a prophet to reveal God to man, a priest as mediator between God and man, and a king to rule over redeemed man. Prophet, priest, and king. I want to know what he's like, but I also want to know what he did for me. He came, lived, suffered, bled, died, ascended, rose again, ascended back into heaven. One more thing, he's going to descend one more time. He's coming back in bright clouds of glory to catch away the blood-bought and sanctified to meet him around the throne. Ain't nothing like this word. I wanted to talk to you, the weapon of the word and its effectiveness to save, the weapon of the word and its effectiveness to heal your body. You need to take a hold of some scriptures. Is any among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church. Look, I believe it, you know, you sick, you need to stay home, well, stay home. You got the stomach virus, I don't want it. Neither does nobody else. But if it was killing you, Brother Joey, if it just turned into weeks and months, and you were shriveled up into bones and said, Brother Eddie, I need you. I'm coming, brother. Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them in the name of the Lord, anointing them with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise them up. You need to take a scripture and you need to hold on to it.
That's right.
Do you know that in the Old Testament, the psalmist said, thy word is health to all my bones? I was reading that one time. I read a story in the Biblical Illustrator. A man had been diagnosed with a terminal illness. He read that text, Brother Eddie. Thy word is health to all my bones. He said, I took every scripture in the Bible, said anything about divine healing, Brother Joey. And he said, I wrote them all down. He said, every day I read every one of them. He said, I read every one of them in the book, and I'd say to God every day, these verses are the health of my bones. I didn't say it. You said it. And he said, Lord, if you're the great physician, and you said this word is health to my bones, I'm taking this word as my prescription, and I'm going to eat these verses every day. And he went back to the doctor on his next visit. And the doctor said, I don't know what you've been doing, but it's a working. Your cancer's leaving your body. He said, I kept reading them, kept rehearsing them. He's alive today and a preacher of the gospel and still sharing the testimony. I were you. He took them all. And I'm telling you, if you didn't have but one that you could stand on, the one is the sum total of them all. With his stripes, we are healed. Sister Bobby, I wish I could preach this to your daddy. And I just might. I might go sit out on that deck with him before this is over with. Just preach healing over his sick body. Preach rejuvenation, revitalization, redemption, restoration over those dying kidneys. Live in the name of Jesus. Sister Darlene Rada, I say to those weak lungs, live. My God, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood over that body. Jesus bore stripes for it to live and not die. Thank you, Lord. It's power to save you. It's power to heal you. There's power to keep you. We're kept by the power of God. Hallelujah. To the day of our redemption. No weapon formed against you will prosper. You know that when David came into power, it was them against the Philistines. The Philistines were already in the Iron Age. They were fighting with steel swords. And David and the men of Israel were fighting with bronze swords. They still living in the Bronze Age. The Philistines are in the steel age. They had figured out how to get that fire hot enough through those, whatever those little heaths they call them. And they heat that flame up. They figured out how to funnel wind in there. I read this, studied it out. The Holy Ghost spoke it to me, but I went and researched history. There was a reason, brother Joey, in the darkest days of David's life when Saul chased him, the Bible said he run over into Gath. Do you know that Goliath, he was a champion of Gath. You know David went to Goliath's hometown and hid out. He done killed their hometown hero. God chased him in the Gath to hide from Saul. And I thought, David went over there and started fighting with the Philistines. And they said, we ain't gonna let this boy fight with us long, because the day's gonna come, we're gonna go up against Saul. He's a Hebrew. We're gonna get in the middle of the battle. He's gonna turn on us and kill us, because he ain't gonna turn against his own people. And the Bible said that David got scared and he played the madman. I thought, well, that's what you get, David. Had no business over there with the enemy, fighting with the enemy on their side. The Holy Ghost spoke to me, Brother Joe, and he said, I had purpose to send him over there. He said, that boy's going to be king one day. And the devil ain't going to have the upper hand over my people. Do you know that David fought with the Philistines long enough to learn how to make steel? He learned their secret of making steel. When David became king, he brought Israel into the Iron Age. Ain't no weapon formed against us going to prosper. I don't care what little trick the devil comes up with, God's going to trump him by the power of the Holy Ghost. You may seem like you got the upper hand on my church right now, but you don't, old boy. You don't. I'll bring them up to speed. Whatever you do to try to outgain or overpower or outmatch my church, I'll increase their power. I'll turn up the volume. I'll heat it 7 times hotter. I'll do what it takes, but you won't prevail. The gates of hell won't prevail against my church. I feel God in this house tonight. I want you to know that Sunday was a tough day for Brother Eddie. I preached 2 encouraging messages, trying to encourage myself in the Lord. But I said, I make it to Wednesday night, Lord. I'm getting back on those weapons. I'm going back on the offense, Sister Jazz. I'm getting the sword in my hand. I'm putting this enemy to flight. I ain't going to hang around and be your punching bag. Hallelujah. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. Hallelujah. The power of his word weaponized. God weaponized his word. Made it strong and powerful enough to defeat every devil in hell. If you're able, stand with me tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Here tonight, you feel like pulling that sword out of its sheath, asking God, Lord, Wet this sword, sharpen this sword up tonight for me. I ain't gonna be the devil's punching bag. I'm gonna use the power of this word to claim my family. I'm gonna use the power of this word to make sure my sick body gets well. I'm gonna use the power of this word to see Bob Fazekas healed, Darlene Rada healed, Hallie Weld healed. I'm gonna see it done because you gave me the power and the authority to get behind me, Satan, for it's written. It's written. I believe this word tonight. One thing God promised you, Brother Joey, was Zach. Get behind me, Satan. He belongs to God. I'll live to see him saved. Full of the Holy Ghost. And answer the call of God on his life. Hallelujah. You believe it, won't you meet me in this altar tonight? Let's see God for it together.